appreciate the family of young ladies in the front and the one fellow. We've got five daughters and one son. And the son is the youngest. And his name isn't Fritz either. Right, Tyson?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So Father's Day is kind of special for this father with all the daughters and all that kind of thing. And appreciate that. There's a theme that has been running through my heart and mind this summer. We've been on choir tour and it was a part of that. And it's kind of two things. And I thought about changing the message when I heard the song this morning, because as she was singing the special, and I can't remember all the words, but the whole idea is, or the idea that came across to me, is that God does what God does in our lives for our good according to His plan, not particularly according to ours. Amen. So we could go to Job chapter 38, and we're not going to go there. Okay, we're going to be in Joshua, but if you want to take the time and follow that thought through, go to Job chapter 38 and begin reading in Job chapter 38 all through the end of the book. Job has gone through tremendous suffering. And you know that God never tells Job why? He never explains to Job, this is what I was doing in your life. He never tells him why, but what he does do, and we had fun with this on our choir tour, is I'd say, what God does do, and the students would answer the question or tell the people what God did. He gives him a theology lesson. He simply reveals himself to Job. Stop and think about it. No explanation. Well, this is why you're suffering. This is why you're going through this trial. This is why you've got this blessing. This is why God says, no. He said, I just want to show you myself. And when you see, and when Job saw God, he humbled himself and worshiped. Awesome truth. We're going to see kind of that same thing in the book of Joshua. And it isn't a zeroed in Father's Day message. But I remember the time when our first daughter was about to be born and I was scared to death. I said, you know what, I can handle myself and I can handle a home where I have a wife. But we're going to have this baby, and it's not that we can't physically take care of this child. But there is so much more responsibility to this child than just making sure that this child, and at that point we didn't know whether it was a boy or a girl, that this child is fed and clothed and housed and taken care of. There is, and the burden of my heart then and still is, there is the training in the ways of the Lord. Awesome responsibility, dads, moms. There is the training in character. And when we are least equipped, we have the greatest responsibilities. I'm a grandpa. Now I feel like, you know what? If I could go back and do it all over, I'd at least have an idea of what I should have done. But that's not the way God designed it. Now, on the other side of it is, I don't have the energy now that I needed then. I said, Lord, why did you give me a son, the youngest? I can't even keep up with him. I he's almost 6'2", and outweighs his dad, and is far more athletic and strong. You know, and it's like, wow, it's not even competition anymore. You know, Lord, didn't you have this backwards? And you have to go back and say, what? Did God know what he was doing? Do we really trust him? Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Now, I'm going to need some help from some of these young people here. Maybe you know and understand this story. Okay, in Joshua chapter 3 is where we're going to start. But it's the summary of what has gone on, particularly in chapter 1. So we're going to jump to chapter 1 once we have covered what we want to look at here in chapter 3. In chapter 3, the children of Israel have wandered in the wilderness for the 40 years. They have come to the banks of the what river?
Jordan.
The Jordan River. Okay? We're at the banks of the Jordan River. And the river is flooded. And God has told Joshua, you're going to cross the river. You're going to cross the river. What is the scenario? And I want us to have this setting here. What is the scenario? How is it going to take place that they're going to cross the river? What has to happen? There are some specific steps of obedience that they have to follow through. Now, if you want to go ahead and look, you can start reading there in verse 13 particularly. What are they going to do? They're going to take the ark, and the priests are going to put it on their shoulder like God has instructed. And what are the priests going to do? They're going to what? They're going to step into the water. What if the water doesn't part? They're going to drown. They're going to look pretty stupid, aren't they? Now, you're getting to know me a little bit that way. My mind kind of works that way. It's like, you're going to do what? You're going to step into the water. God tells Joshua, you have the priest put the ark on their shoulders, you have them step into the water, and I will part the water. And you notice that there is no plan B. I think that's incredible. I can almost guarantee that most of us, when we have a project that we're going to do, there's plan A, and then we have plan B, just in case we get into trouble in this project. Now, some of us don't plan that far ahead. We don't even really have a plan A. We just start doing it, you know. But God doesn't have a plan B. He says, you put the ark on their shoulders, and you step in the water, and I will part the water. Now, how many of you would like to have been there? Dude, I'd love to have been there. I think about the Red Sea, too. I think about this river, and I think about you young people that are younger than the rest of us. Be honest now. When you read those stories, do you think in your mind, if I'd have been there, I'd have gone over and touched the water? Then it stands up in a wall, and I go over there and see. Is there glass there? Yeah, there you go. Like on a fence, yeah. Run the hand along it. Awesome. Yeah, this is what. These are real people. Just like you and me. Right? And they're going to step in the water. Look in verse 4, though. Because here is the key that I want us to take home with us today. Okay? He has given him the instruction. And he says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. You haven't gone this way before. Now, what's the key? The Ark of the Covenant was the place, what? Yeah, where God dwelt. Between the cherubim that sit on top of that box, that ark. And when the priest would make atonement for the sin of Israel on the Day of Atonement, he would go in and he would sprinkle blood on that mercy seat, the place where God dwelt. The evidence, the symbol, the picture, the illustration, however you want to put it, is that is God before us. Yeah, we don't have a literal Ark of the Covenant that we follow, but do we put the Lord ahead of us, before us, so that we can follow Him? Or do we keep Him out in front far enough? You notice it says here, you put Him out this far so that everyone, so that you may know the way. You need to see it. Do we really see the Lord? Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He's talking about a vision. We may not have that vision. We don't have some dream or something that we see, but we can see the Lord by reading His Word. We know who He is and what He is doing. Do we keep Him in front? Are you ever tempted to get ahead of the Lord? Lord, you know, hurry it up a bit. Did you see what's going on down here? I don't really like to wait until the last minute. I don't. I have five daughters. Do you think I ever said, hurry up? The oldest was the slowest. Oh, I used to get on her case. Especially getting ready in the morning. And it's like, Christina, come on. Then we found out she couldn't see. I mean, we homeschooled. Well, at that point, she was in a Christian school, and she did almost all of her work right in front of her. And we didn't realize that she was holding her reading right in front of her. And I see her one day, and she's got her nose right up to the mirror. So we finally, we get her glasses, you know, like good parents do after too long. And she goes out and says, oh, Dad, look, I can see the stars. And I go, oh, man, that makes you feel good. You know? And then you realize that part of the reason that she's so slow in the morning is because she can't see. And, you know, dads learn patience. Do we wait on God or do we try to get ahead of Him? Oh, come on, Lord. Or when the Lord says, this is the way you are to walk, this is where I want you to go, He said, well, I don't know. And we kind of hold back. A couple of you already know, or a couple of you know Joe Charles. We got acquainted with him. I had heard of him for many years, but got acquainted with him after a couple of our daughters had gone to Cornerstone, gone up to school. He'd been in our home. The choir had come down, and different ones had visited. And then he would tell my daughters, he says, you tell your dad he needs to come up here and teach. And I was pastoring, had pastored for a number of years in South Central Kansas, where we're from. We're about an hour from where my wife and I grew up. And he thought, well, you know, this doesn't get any better than this. And the Lord will leave us here till we retire or till we die or whatever, you know, and we're happy there. The people at the church weren't upset with us or anything. They'd let us preach and teach and pastor, and, you know, it was good. You need to come up here and teach. I thought, I'm a pastor. I'm not a teacher. And I don't know that I drug my feet, but I know that I really didn't want to leave. And the Lord had to put that desire in there. I said, besides that, we're telling Scott, besides that, when you preach, the people pretty much have to stay until you're done. Yeah, I did have one church. I said, well, how long do you usually go? I said, well, we leave at such and such. You can go as long as you want, you know. I said, okay, whatever, you know. I said, there's a bell that's going to ring, and then I have to quit because I have to go to the next class. I don't know that I like that. And I wrestled with that for a couple of years. I mean, we were wrestling back and forth, and I said, Lord, I don't know. I've never done that before. The Lord said, go. So this passage is very, very real in my heart. And when it says, you have not passed this way heretofore, you haven't gone this way before, you keep the Lord in front of it. How many of you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Nobody does. You haven't gone that way before, so who are you going to follow? I'll just follow my instincts. That'll get you in trouble. No, you follow the Lord. How do I know I'm following the Lord? I spend time in His Word. I study His Word. I read His Word. I have fellowship with Him. I pray, and His Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit and the Word of God, and I follow Him. I walk with Him. And I keep Him out in front, as it were, so that I can follow. Well, what was Joshua's promise? And here's the thing that is exciting for me. In chapter 1, okay, so if you want to capsulize it, you've not walked this way before, and then here's what I want you to do, and the Israelites follow, but it's all based on what God had promised in chapter 1. And I want us to look at these. Just a couple of them, and get a hold of them and study them out for yourself. This, the word becomes meaningful for you and I in our lives when we take it in for ourselves, not just take it from somebody else. You got to spend time in it for myself. And allow the Lord to speak to my heart through His Word. And I would challenge you concerning that. But in chapter 1 and verse 2, we find these words here. And this is a reality. Joshua has not walked this way before. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now think about it. Joshua hasn't gone this way before. Who has been the leader of the children of Israel? Moses. If Joshua had an issue or a problem, who could he go to? But Moses is dead. Now who does he go to? You say, well, that's better. Oh, I know it is. But there's nobody to blame. It's between him and the Lord. You know, don't blame me. Moses told me to do it. You ever had? You know what I'm talking about. Now he goes directly to the Lord. There's a different responsibility here. And Joshua hasn't been there before. He says, you go, because every place where the sole of your foot treads, every place where you walk, every place where you go in the conquest of this land, I have given it to you. I promised it to Moses and the children of Israel. And Joshua, that promise hasn't changed. And then he explains in verse 4 what's going to happen from the wilderness, or how far it goes from the wilderness and this Lebanon to the great river, the river Euphrates, and so forth. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says basically the same thing for the believer today. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is simply saying the things of this life will not bring you contentment, but I will. Now I want us to look at something else. In these verses of Scripture, you notice there is a responsibility as well as a promise. What has God promised? He said, Joshua, I promise that wherever you go in the conquest, I'm going to give that to you. What's the responsibility? To go. To follow Him. What do we? Where does it start? Chapter 3. Put the ark on your shoulders. Step into the water. That is an act of faith. Not real complicated, but like I said, you know, if you were there and you're thinking, you know what, we're supposed to step in the water, how is that going to part the water? Faith doesn't always make sense, logically. And you can probably add all kinds of illustrations in there. You know, God says to do this, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And he says, step into the water. You can't see months and months and months ahead down the road. You just simply follow in obedience one step at a time. So he says, every place where your foot goes. So he says, okay, you walk through the land. You conquer this land. You have some responsibility to go. Three things that come out of that, or that flow out of that. When you quit walking, you quit receiving. Israel, you quit walking, you quit taking the land, you quit receiving. God promised to give them the land. He said, every place where your foot goes, you quit walking through the land. You conquer in obedience to the Lord. When you quit walking, you have quit trusting. Just like stepping in that water. You know what? You haven't gone here before. You haven't walked through this land of Canaan before. You haven't traversed this land before. But you see, when you quit walking, you've quit trusting. When you quit walking, this one really hit me. When you quit walking, you have quit obeying. God said, go in and take the land. I'll give it to you, but you go in and take it. Now, there's some things that will flow out of that when we quit, when Israel quits. And you can see this through the book of Joshua, or through the book of Judges particularly, and then on into the Kings. When you have quit walking, you will begin to compromise. Oh, yeah. Well, we just get comfortable here and we'll assimilate ourselves into the culture of the land. And what did they do? They began to sin. They began to, and it started with compromise. Now, forgive me if this gets a little bit personal, but these things, obviously, I had to go through them first before I can share them with you. So you, okay? Most likely, we will be like the children of Israel. And when we have begun to compromise, we will also begin to complain. We begin to whine and complain. Oh, it's just too much work, this walking through the land, this conquest. We develop an entitlement attitude. God owes it to me. He can just give it to me. I shouldn't have to work so hard for it. You know, and for the church, that's the believers, not the building and not even the corporate organization particularly, although it applies as well. But for the church, the principle is there. God has promised to supply our every need. Do we really believe that? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You believe that? I'm setting you up for something. You really believe it?
Absolutely.
Why do you worry then? Maybe you don't. Why do I worry? We say we believe it. Do we really step into the water? Yeah, once in a while we have a doubt. Yeah. Why? Because we haven't gone this way before? Yeah. It's new territory for us, isn't it? This walk by faith, it's new every day. It's exciting. We didn't do camp. I get a, and I don't direct camp anymore. I get to be a camp pastor, camp speaker, and I get to be for, I think it's like 8 to 12 year olds. And I love that age group at camp. The teenagers are all worried about what people are going to think about them, so they don't ever answer any questions or anything like that. They sit there and go, oh, yeah, I'm not going to say anything because so they like it. 8 to 12 year old, they don't care. Especially this year, if you answer a question, you get a little small bag of Skittles. They'll answer, right? Teenagers are too big for that. But anyway, I've not been that way before. A walk by faith. We are to labor. We're to work. Oh, but God said He would provide. He'll provide. That is true. But He also expects us to work and to labor. Not only in spiritual labor, but in physical labor as well, or to the supply of our need. He says in Thessalonians, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. What a novel idea. God's provision is not the removal of personal responsibility. When we quit working, we too will quit receiving. Does it take work to keep a church going? But the pastor can do it all. That's what we pay him for. Now, I haven't talked to him about anything, so please, you know, I just pastored for almost 17 years in one slot. I don't know. Pastor will do it. I really think that's one of the reasons why the Lord moved us from where we were pastoring. Because the people had developed an attitude of the pastor will do it. And I have a tendency to just go ahead and do it. Because I enjoy it. But if we quit working, we'll quit receiving. We quit working, we too have quit trusting. And we've quit obeying. And we will compromise and we will begin to complain. Now, I do have a remedy also. I believe it is from the Lord. A remedy for complaining. Get busy. If you got time to complain, you're not busy enough. Get to work. And remember, you have not gone this way before. You haven't. Every day is a new day with the Lord. And we haven't gone that way before. But we need God's provision for that day. Do we trust Him? Or do we worry? Take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord will take care of it. We too have the promise of God's presence. Just like Joshua had the promise of His presence. He said, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Jesus has told us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Guiding and leading and directing. So my question, or the question the Lord would ask of each of us, as we face each day, are we willing, figuratively, okay, but are we willing to step into the water as the Lord directs and leads? Are we going to say, you know what, I haven't gone this way before, but I'm going to keep the Lord in front of me. And I will follow Him. He's going to lead to that Jordan River. He's going to lead to that experience, that situation that we've never faced before. But I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to stay with Him. And where He leads, I'm going to follow. I'm going to walk with Him by faith. And you know what we're going to find out, just like Job? No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation may be, we will see the Lord And we just humble ourselves before Him and be obedient. The children of Israel walked through the land. When they quit walking, they did begin to compromise. And they lost the blessing of the Lord. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're facing as fathers. But I'm sure that there will be challenges. There will be trials. We grow through them. They are for our good, for our benefit, for our blessing. Keep the Lord in front of you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your vision on the Lord. Follow Him. When He says step into the water, step into the water. During this time when the Lord has been dealing with me in these areas, I've also been reading and thinking through the biography of George Mueller. And he makes a statement in there that really is incredible, and it follows right along with what we're talking about here. A man asked him, he said, "What provision have you made for the feeding of these orphans should God not supply the daily food?" And at that point, there were like 1,000 orphans, and there were times when their food supply was down to one meal for the whole bunch. And I would panic. George Mueller prayed. He says, according to God, this is Mueller's answer to that was, according to God's promise, it is inconceivable that He will not supply. It's like He said He would. So He will. So we don't need an alternative plan. It's the same way in following the Lord. I follow the Lord because He said He will lead me, He will supply, He will take care of me, He will not forsake me. I simply follow Him. You say, "Pastor Friesen, that's easy to talk about." I know. But we walk out the doors to serve, and we begin to put it into practice like Joshua did here. Chapter 1 is easy to talk about, and it's great to revel in. In Joshua chapter 1, we get to chapter 3, and the Lord says, "Step into the water." And he said, "Well, I don't know, Lord." So what are you facing? The Lord knows. What will you face in the days ahead? Only the Lord knows. I know that I am thankful to know the Lord, to walk with the Lord. The days that we are living in are interesting days. Just read the news. Follow the news a little bit. I believe the Lord's coming is very, very soon. Are you walking with Him? Do you know Him? Can't walk with Him if you don't know Him as your personal Savior. Without the Lord, there'll be no stepping in the water. There'll be no direction. Put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, for your hope of eternal life. Father, we thank You for the time You've given us together this morning, and I trust that these few thoughts that we've shared will be a challenge to each of our hearts. We would ever keep the Lord before us. We would ever follow You, follow Him faithfully. Fulfilling our responsibility, being obedient, walking by faith. We'll praise and thank You for what You do in each of the lives that is here. Lord, You know the need. And You know, Lord, how to meet that need. If there's one without Christ as Savior, Lord, we'd love to share with them how they can know Christ, how they can have that personal relationship with You through the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to work in each of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.